This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, August 8th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. A growing number of social media users in China are leaving the country's biggest domestic platforms for smaller, less restrictive ones. For many of them, new rules by the platforms requiring users to confirm their identities and display their IP locations are the final straws to push them to change. But switching platforms can mean giving up friends and connections. And as more people make the move, how long will it be until Beijing sets its eyes on these new outlets? On today's show, our China tech reporter Shen Lu joins us to discuss why so many are seeking online refuge and what it tells us about the future of the country's social media landscape. That's after these headlines. Amazon is buying iRobot, the maker of the Roomba smart vacuum, for $1.7 billion, including debt. The deal would be Amazon's fourth largest ever, and our reporter Connor Hart says it'll add to the company's growing portfolio of connected home devices and smart home abilities, like Alexa virtual assistant speakers and Ring doorbells.
The Amazon Alexa was able to do things simply like control speakers and control volumes and control lights, and they've gotten a little bit more high tech and they've kind of just grown their presence every single step along the way, being able to record package deliveries, the street outside, now being able to, you know, literally map out your home and clean it, just keeps getting more intense.
iRobot CEO Colin Angle will stay in his position once the deal is complete. Oracle has cut hundreds of workers, according to people familiar with the matter, as the company shifts its focus to healthcare IT services and cloud businesses. Sources say the layoffs were mostly aimed at Oracle's advertising and customer experience group. Instead, Oracle is increasingly focused on cloud healthcare services, having recently won regulatory approval to buy the electronic medical records company Cerner for $28.3 billion. The Oracle cuts are the latest in a string of job cuts and hiring slowdowns in the tech sector. And the world's largest registry for carbon credits wants more transparency from crypto platforms. Last week, the carbon credit nonprofit Vera proposed new rules for trading credits that have been retired and then turned into tokens. Vera and others are dealing with the fallout from crypto enthusiasts that are moving tens of millions of used carbon credits onto digital exchanges. Vera says that creates confusion over who can claim responsibility for the credit's climate benefits. WSJ Pro sustainability reporter Dieter Holger explains.
If a company wants to claim a benefit they paid for, both carbon credits and carbon tokens offer a means to exit circulation so no one else can make the claim on that unit. In May, Vera banned allowing any more of its credits from getting moved onto cryptocurrency exchanges through a backdoor crypto enthusiasts had figured out. Some account holders began retiring credits from Vera's registry, which normally meant they were claimed, but instead moved them onto cryptocurrency exchanges with a receipt of their authenticity so they could be traded and considered unclaimed.
Vera's new proposed rules would require records identifying who is turning carbon credits into tokens, who is claiming any environmental benefits from those tokens, and potentially who is swapping the tokens. The final rules would go into effect later this year after a 60-day comment period. All right, coming up, more Chinese internet users are moving to under-the-radar social media platforms. We'll discuss what it means for China's social media landscape and those making the change. That's after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Social media is the place people go to express their feelings, connect with friends, and exchange ideas with strangers. But when your posts are monitored by authorities or censored, it can be hard to be open and can even present a risk to your safety. That's the situation some people in China are finding themselves in, as new rules take effect on social media platforms there. And some are choosing to leave platforms where they don't feel safe and trying to rebuild their cyber lives on other sites. Joining us to discuss this is our China Tech reporter, Shen Lu. Hi, Shen Lu. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So can you start by painting a picture of what the social media landscape in China is like right now and how it's changed?
It's still vibrant, but the main town square-like social media platform, Weibo, which is better known in the West than other social media platforms, is saturated with nationalistic voices and official narratives because of a step up in censorship over the past few years. And it's very different from, say, 10 years ago when Weibo became a phenomenon in China and in the world even. People thought that China was moving toward a more democratic society because people had this social media platform and were able to voice their opinions and were able to have lively debates. But then that changed maybe about 5-8 years ago. Platforms like Weibo have stepped up censorship, and people feel like the space for free speech has been shrinking over the past few years.
I want to talk about why this shift in Chinese social media landscape is taking place. What's behind the new rules and restrictions? Are they coming from the government, or are these platforms self-regulating?
So in the end of June, China's cyberspace watchdog came down with new rules that require all the Chinese social media platforms to display user IP locations online and then require them to verify users' identities. But this came 2 months late after Weibo and another town square-like social media platform, Douban, announced the rules. So we don't know if 2 months ago Chinese social media platforms decided to do it themselves or ahead of the new rules, or they had already had an agreement with the Chinese Cyberspace Administration to initiate the new requirements before the rules actually got passed.
Have we heard from the government or from either of these major platforms about what's going on?
No, neither the Chinese government nor the companies responded to our requests for comment.
Okay, so that's the situation with the companies. I want to talk a bit about the individuals who are using these platforms and what it's been like for them. What would cause them to switch to another social media platform? You know, of the people you spoke to, what did they tell you about their experience on these platforms?
Yeah, so it's not just a one-off deletion of a post or a deletion of an account. It's, you know, many of them have experienced a series of account deletions over the past few years and not letting alone posts. So increasingly they find that on their timeline, their neighbors and their friends started to talk less and less or stopped talking because of the invasive censorship. So it's not fun to stay on those platforms anymore if your friends and you yourself are afraid of speaking out or are just annoyed that the fact that whatever you say might trigger censorship. Sometimes it's casual banter talk. It's not even like touching anything political. So that's the main reason why they would switch to a foreign platform. But the latest rules that display users' IP locations and require them to verify their identity seem to be a last straw for some of the people that I talked to for the story. And it's not easy for them to abandon their online, you know, homeland and online identity that they have, you know, built and maintained for the past 10 years. So for many people, it's kind of traumatic that they can't stay on that platform anymore. And then the platform is not the same Weibo or same Douban that inspired them to participate in public engagement 10 years ago.
So you found that a lot of people are switching over to Mastodon. For those of us who are not familiar with Mastodon, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like and how many Chinese users are switching over to it?
So it's a social network and it has similar features to Twitter, where it's a microblogging network. So anyone using Mastodon's open source software could build their own network. They just need to buy server storage. So many people have started their own social networks on Mastodon, placing their servers outside of China. And overall, this place hosts about 150,000 Chinese-speaking users currently.
What does all of this tell us about the Chinese social media landscape going forward?
So many of the Chinese social media users who moved to Mastodon think that the censorship is only going to be rising in the future and the erosion of free speech is only going to continue on Chinese social media. And then a lot of who have moved to Mastodon think that it's not fun to be on those mainstream Chinese social media anymore. There's a lot of harassment going on and nationalism is on steroids. And they just want a place to simply to speak freely, not just about, you know, political issues, but also to express themselves and to, you know, exchange ideas and share their hobbies with friends without having to worry being censored or harassed.
I'm curious if we'll see any more crackdowns or more restrictions from the government, though, or if, you know, the government will look at this shift and maybe say, we need to do something about Mastodon as well.
So they're already doing that. Some of the popular Mastodon networks where Chinese internet users speak, China has already blocked those sites. And, you know, some of the less known, sort of under the radar social networks before also got blocked in June when Chinese censors found people started to moving to those places. So it's a sign that Mastodon is already on the radar of Chinese censors.
All right, that's our reporter, Shen Liu. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Zoe, for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.